Welcome to the Prevail Over Cancer podcast, where we take a metabolic approach to help guide you on preventing, prevailing, and striving over cancer.
We are live. We are live on the Prevail Over Cancer podcast with the one and only Keith Bishop. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. And you?
I'm doing amazing. So I always get so excited to sit down every couple of weeks with you to just add so much value and add so much of your knowledge to our audience on cancer prevention, prevailing over cancer, and anyone going through treatments or going through such a hard time in their life if they're diagnosed with cancer. Any little thing that we could do to benefit and help relieve the stress and also help bring back their health is in such a value. And I think we're adding that every time we do a podcast, because the feedback I'm getting off these podcasts is incredible. So excited to continue this. Today we're going to dive into something I need every day, my coffee and something I do every afternoon, a green tea, and every night I have different forms of tea. We're going to talk about those. I drink papaya tea, I drink dandelion teas. So we're going to be talking about hot beverages in a way and effects, benefits on cancer prevention, and if you do have cancer, the benefits that it could help decrease the odds of that cancer spreading. So let's dive right into coffee. And before we go into it, I want everybody to know is how I have my coffee is black. I mean, that's one thing. Right. I don't like additives. I don't add creams. I don't add sugars. I don't want anything. Black coffee is the way to go. So if you are drinking coffee, that is the route you want to go, is black coffee. If you do add a sweetener, you want to keep it as natural as possible.
Exactly. So the, you know, artificial sweeteners are definitely bad and probably increased risk of cancers is kind of a newer area, but we're seeing some issues with that. The natural sweeteners, you know, stevia, monk fruit, or even a little tiny bit of sugar, a little bit of honey can be okay. But when we go into other things, like I did a post about a canned coffee just the other day, and I was alarmed when I'm going to look at the label. It was horrible. Yeah. And even, you know, some of those ingredients that they add to it to make it kind of creamy, kind of like a creamer type ingredients. Matter of fact, creamers overall are bad unless you do more like a true cream, or, you know, a little bit of milk or a little bit of a cream, or, you know, half and half. So long as that's all that's in it, could be okay. Once again, natural, you know, it's going to be our goal, and a little bit can be okay. But when they start adding the emulsifiers, there's a whole new study about that. It's called mono and diglycerides. And the people that do those frequently or consume those foods with that frequently, including creamers, beverages, coffees with those emulsifiers, that means it makes it thicker and creamy. And so that we like that taste.
That smooth flavor in your body.
Yeah. That smoothness in the mouth increases the risk of cancers by 25% or something like that. And then there's another one. And so that's mono and diglycerides. So read the labels. And another ingredient that it's a natural ingredient, but there's some potential issues. It's called carrageenan. And it is a natural thickening ingredient. And really, there's no research saying that it causes the cancer. But once again, the foods that it's associated with increases the risk of breast cancer by 15, 20%, something like that. So once again, black is the best. A little bit of sweetener can be okay. A tiny bit of a natural cream can be okay. But every time we add something to it, it's probably going to decrease that effectiveness.
Where's your mindset with when you look at a stevia leaf, for example? There's a lot of push towards that being a better alternative, more natural alternative, but it is processed still. There's a lot of processing happening to get that leaf to that stage. So we look at, I'm at fault of this. I thought I was being healthy 10 years ago, and I was pouring those little yellow and pink packs of natural, I thought it was natural sweetener into my coffee, into my food. into my cooking. And then we find out years later, there's a ton of things coming out now, how they are related to cancer. So what do you, when you look at a stevia and people are like, I talk to a lot of individuals and they're like, oh, I'm very healthy. I only use a stevia. I only this. I'm like, there's still tons of processing. Yes. We don't know the long-term effect of this. This is still fairly new, the stevia leaf in the market. So yes. What is the long-term effect on these things? So my mindset is, try to get rid of as much of this crap as possible.
Right. And so to make the stevia, that leaf, matter of fact, I grow stevia in my garden. You know,
you do? Okay.
It doesn't do well. It does okay. And it's, matter of fact, it's really kind of neat because it's an extremely sweet leaf. And you can hear it and you can grow it in Oklahoma. The further south, typically the better. Okay. So in Oklahoma, we can grow that. And it's extremely sweet. And if you put that into a beverage, you can kind of grind it up and put it in there. You know, that's a definite option. But when we buy those packets, and I don't think I have any packets. Oh, I do. A second from one of my podcasts. Okay. There's a green packet. Okay. Yeah. And so they use chemicals to dehydrate and evaporate out the active ingredient, the stevia. Glycosides, those sweetener ingredients, but they're using chemicals to make that.
Exactly.
Same thing with monk fruit. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
And so, matter of fact, when I look at the manufacturing process of making both the monk fruit and stevia, they both use some definite chemicals I'm not a fan of. And then they try to wash and evaporate that out, but there still could be some in there.
There are always going to be residue of those chemicals in there. Always, yes. Always. What's your mindset also? And one that I see on a lot of keto foods and all the healthy foods is tapia sweetener, tapia syrup.
Right. And
that's another one that's on the verge of like people are trying to push it to be healthy. But when you look at the processing of that, which I kind of looked into detail, that seemed like the worst of all of them even at this point.
It could be.
Yeah.
And so there, it is processed and concentrated. And once again, these are all newer type things. We don't know the long-term consequences, you know, of them. And so, even another keto friendly, erythritol, it is sweet.
Yeah.
And so that's an alcohol sugar. And what that means is that actually that sugar it's large and it takes time to digest it and chop it up and for our body to chop it up and use it. So it has a minimal impact on our blood glucose, but, you know, there's some studies showing that higher amounts of that. Matter of fact, they actually use that sugar in monk fruit and stevia packets and powder because the monk fruit and stevia are actually so sweet, you can't even measure the powder. It is because it just takes a tiny bit. You know, maybe a dropper of those would be better because maybe there's not as many concerns about additional ingredients, but the erythritol at high doses seems to create some inflammation inside the blood vessels.
Interesting.
And so now they're following people that are, you know, having higher amounts of erythritol in their blood levels, and they seem to have more problems with vascular disease. Although those studies are also due to those people were also eating probably large amounts of fruit. Erythritol is in fruit. And so they're trying to figure that out, but that's still a little blip on the radar. So it's enough to go, whoa, we maybe need to be careful about some of these packets. So, so a liquid of monk fruit or stevia could be better. If I had to sweeten something up, like if I wanted to do that, you know, with my matcha, you know, I might actually just put a little bit of a local honey in it, a tiny bit. And so, you know, less than like half of a teaspoon of that was enough to kind of take that bitterness off and not raise my blood glucose. I can still remain in a ketosis type state by doing a little bit of that. And the way we know is by doing a test like a finger stick to measure the glucose and ketone levels.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I'm pretty disciplined. So I mean, when it comes to the taste, I overpass that with the mindset of the benefit. So I could easily eliminate all that. I haven't had, even when it comes to honey or maple, organic maple syrups or anything, I try to eliminate. I don't even have any. I don't have any in my diet. Let's go back to coffee. So
yes,
when it comes to the benefits of coffee, You preach about this on tons of posts. Tons of times I've heard you talk about this. And when I first was diagnosed with cancer, I read the metabolic approach to cancer, metabolic disease, and all, I read all these books, and there is a lot of talk of the benefits when it comes directly to my issue, colorectal cancer, and the benefits of coffee, and also directly to breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And last night I was playing around and I was on Google, and I was just researching, and I found there is study after study after study. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing how something like coffee could have so many benefits on preventing and honestly killing cancer cells. So let's talk about that. And let's talk about how to have the coffee when it comes to the roasting aspect and all, like, where are you going to get the best benefits of that? Cause I think that's a big aspect of it as well.
Yes. So yeah, it's kind of interesting. So coffee beans are roasted, mm-hmm. and to turn them dark, they start off with as a green bean.
Yeah.
And they roast it. That turns it dark, but that roasting process actually creates some of the beneficial chemicals.
Yeah.
So that is very, I find it very interesting. I mean, that's some chemistry. That's what I grew up in, and, you know, in school and in college, and is the chemistry aspects. And that's how, well, drugs are made. I mean, whatever is that, you know, it takes a heat process sometimes to make something. Well, same thing with coffee. So that roasting process actually increases the levels of the beneficial antioxidants, and antioxidants repair the body. Now, there's a little bit of a blip, and we'll see also that roasting process does make acrylamides, and acrylamides might increase the risk of cancers. You know, the link is not real strong, but the overwhelming fact is that coffee has so many other benefits and antioxidants, it way overrides any potential concern of about acrylamides.
Yeah.
So and there's numerous different chemicals, in there. I don't even know how many, but I've seen more than half a dozen just recently in the research journals where they actually test those and create those chemicals. And now they even make those chemicals, synthetically, and put them into foods and beverages and greens drinks and things like that. So trying to help boost the activities of those products.
Let's take a quick break.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
There's, when I was looking at studies, I mean, there's one study I was looking at, and I actually wrote it down here. It was published in International Journal of Molecular Science or
Molecular Science,
yeah. Science in January of 23, and it's showing like it took 1,000 individuals, and you saw the benefit. It's almost like a chemotherapeutic benefit, which just roasted coffee on these right. individuals, and they did the whole placebo effect and all that, and it was like it was so incredible the results they got. So when you're looking at that and you're seeing the future of treatments and all that stuff, how do you think coffee plays a role in all that stuff?
Well, I think it's very important, and so, you know, especially for colorectal cancer, that goes in, of course, and well, we absorb the nutrients from the stomach, small intestine, and goes through the whole body. It, with that, very well absorbed. The particles are small enough, so they're going to be absorbed. It's kind of like a pre-digested food. You don't have to chew it up. You don't have to worry about your enzymes. You don't have to worry about stomach acid levels, but it's readily absorbed into the body, processes through the whole body, and then some of it is going to pass through the intestines right into the colon. And put it right where some of those tumors are and where that process may be occurring. And it is truly amazing because there are hundreds and actually probably thousands of research articles about the benefits of coffee, you know, and their role on stopping cancer growth and preventing blood vessel growth to the blood vessels and helping them to die naturally, apoptosis and things like that. Coffee also can be done as part of an intermittent fasting. So like in the mornings, you do your fasting in the morning. Is that right?
Yeah. I do my 18 hours and my first meal is usually around 12:30 every day.
Yeah. Same with me. But I definitely have my mug of coffee in the morning and then I kind of switch gear. So now I'm going with a large cup of matcha in this case, you know, in the mornings. And then, you know, and then I'll have another, you know, cup a day. Actually, you know, one cup a day probably isn't enough.
Yeah.
And so it does take, you know, and research shows it's more like two, but more like three.
Yeah.
Cups. And so a cup is, if we're international people, 250 milliliters. And that's a cup, but it takes at least three of those a day to have an impact on cancers. So we have to get enough of it, you know, in the body and get those nutrients in the body. And there, you know, I would also want to throw in real quick, you know, I definitely believe it needs to be organic when possible and to limit the chemicals that are, you know, that the pesticides and fertilizers and insecticides and all that kind of stuff. We don't want to be putting that kind of things into our body. So if at all possible, not required. Matter of fact, all these studies that we're reading are not organic. So I don't want people to get frustrated if they don't have access or can't afford it. But, you know, I'm blessed I can. And so I try to do that most of the time. But if I'm at a place or a family member's house and they've got coffee, you know, and it's not definitely not going to be organic, that's okay. I'm going to drink it. But I'm blessed I can and do have access to that organic type things. But it takes enough of it. And so at least three cups and then divided somewhat through the day unless you're sensitive to caffeine.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
So then we have this noon type of a thing that, you know, we have to be careful about that. There's genetics involved. And so myself, I knew this before I got my genetic test, but I can drink a cup and 2 hours later, I can go to sleep. I'm a fast metabolizer, but that also means I actually do need to drink more to have the same effect.
I was going to say the benefits of it, your body's, yeah.
Yeah, and so I can eliminate, that means my liver processes chemicals pretty good, and so I have to, you know, drink more. So somebody that does have a caffeine sensitivity, you know, and they may only be able to drink one or two cups a day, that's okay. You know, if that's all they can do, because their liver may have a problem processing chemicals and even good chemicals. And so they have those good chemicals can have a tendency to kind of build up in the body. So, you know, kind of like to tolerance or caffeine tolerance, I think is a great way to think of that, you know, and definitely, you know, for some people it creates sleep problems. And so therefore, and along that line, so decaffeinated can be used. Except for we want the Swiss process of decaffeination, which is more of a steam process. And when that process washes out the caffeine, it also washes out some of the benefits and other chemicals, but it still can help. And so when we add the coffee, even if it's decaffeinated, not as strong or not, let's say not as strong of a coffee, even or a weaker coffee, then you can, you know, maybe try to drink a little bit more, but add that in along with many other health choices and we get, you know, a combined effect, you know, on that.
Where's your mindset with instant coffee?
For example,
Nescafe instant coffee, you buy a jug of it or a jar of it, very popular, tastes great. I use it all the time. Where's your mindset with that?
And it definitely can be okay. Yeah. You know, as a matter of fact, usually what it is actually it's brewed coffee, and then they use a spraying process, you know, to evaporate that in the air, and it falls down and kind of a heat evaporation process, and they collect those crystals, and so it definitely can be okay. The problem is going to be, you know, there's these things like 3-in-1 and or that have creamers added to them.
No, yeah, yeah. It has to be a natural one, of course.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, so definitely. And matter of fact, I have some of those instant coffee packets. And so, you know, when I'm traveling, but usually it's actually more like when I'm riding horses on the trail or fishing, camping, I've got those instant packets.
Yeah.
And because I don't have, well, I do have a manual grinder, but I don't have room in my saddlebag for it. So
yeah, of course.
So I'm going to take enough, you know, for me to have two or three cups of coffee a day and plan that trip out, you know, so I can have that throughout the day.
So overall coffee, let's just ring it up here. And we're looking at 2 to 3 cups a day.
Yes. Right.
That would be ideal. Organic. Ideal.
Ideal.
Incredibly great for anybody that's fasting. Fasting should be applied to anybody that is preventing, prevailing, or were diagnosed with cancer. There's so many benefits to that, and that'll leave that for another day. So there's other beverages that we're going to dive into now, and there's one that you talk about a lot. One that you're drinking right now is green tea, and you're drinking the green tea matcha. But let's dive into green tea. Let's talk about green tea, the benefits. Green tea is something that I imply actually as a supplement, as you're aware of it. I use the extract as a supplement, but I also do drink my green tea, an organic green tea. I try to drink one, sometimes two cups a day. It depends, but I am careful because there is caffeine in that. And then you add your coffee. So the caffeine levels you want to be careful with. Mm-hmm. So I do drink my one or two cups of green tea a day. Let's talk about the benefits of green tea. How should be it utilize, what forms of it, like you said, the matcha, there's different forms of it. So green tea, let's dive into that.
Yeah, green tea has several ingredients called catechins. It's kind of like an umbrella term, but one of those is called EGCG for short. Yeah. And it does have significant anti-cancer benefits. It's also it helps decrease absorption of glucose from the intestines. And so that's that decreases actually glucose available for cancer cells to use, for example. And people actually, you know, can also, it can, there's several studies showing can help lose weight by drinking green tea. And green tea has more of the EGCG versus the fermented, which means aged black tea.
Yes.
So black tea, I will drink it, but it's not my passion. You know, I want to try to do as much as possible of the green teas. So, it needs to be once again, kind of like not black tea, but an unsweetened version, if all possible. Same thing. We run into the same sweeteners and adding, you know, other things to it because it can be a little bit on the bitter side, but also actually that bitterness is some of the active ingredients.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
And so with my clients, even they were complaining about something the other day that tasted really bad. And I can't remember which it was, but I said, well, whenever you're eating and drinking that, just think, die, cancer cells, die. It tastes bad. Just think if it tastes bad in your mouth, what the cancer cells are going to be thinking and if what they don't think, but what they feel, you know, they're going, oh, it's horrible. So I just celebrate it. And then there are, you know, and also, you know, there are actually genetics involved in how they like coffee or tea. So there's a bitterness aspect that's on the tongue and taste sensations. And so genetically, some people prefer bitter beverages and food.
Yeah.
Same thing with hot, you know, peppers and things like that. And so don't get too frustrated if you can't do it. You kind of work into it, make it, you know, we do get used to things. So whenever I was exposed to beets as a child, it was horrible and my parents didn't like it. So as an adult, it's like, ugh, it's horrible, but I'm intentionally eating those beets.
Yeah.
And now it's like, that's pretty good.
I'm the same with fermented foods and pickled foods and stuff like that. I couldn't stand the taste of it as a kid. I love it. I could put it on anything, right? So you acquire a taste when you start realizing the benefits of it, and you start understanding that it's needed. Once you start acquiring and tasting on a regular basis, it becomes, I guess your body becomes adapted to it.
Exactly. So, matter of fact, I was talking to a friend yesterday, and he complained about something. He wasn't feeling as good. I said, "Well," he said, "I had that pizza last night." I said, "So, was it the pizza or the beer?" And he said, "Well, you know," he said, "I quit drinking beer, and I had one a couple of weeks ago, and he said that was horrible." And because, you know, we develop tastes for whatever food or beverage. So I'm not trying to say beer is something you should be drinking, but same thing. So once you start drinking something, you do develop a fondness, a likeness for it, and realizing that it is good for you. So definitely we can adapt to that. So green tea does have all types of good nutrients in it. There can be some quality issues. And so, brewed tea bags, you know, is actually one of my greatest concerns is that those, and I don't think I've got any sitting here. I had one sitting here a little while ago, but a tea bag usually is plastic.
Yeah.
And there's nanoplastics in it. And now they have the equipment that they can actually measure those nanoplastics. And so tea bags are my last option. If it were an emergency, I've got it in, you know, in my storm shelter. If I have to stay down there for a while, I could drink it, but I'm not drinking it. So I'm going with loose tea leaves to stay away from the plastics. And then there's quality. And so like any food, it doesn't make a difference what it is. Any food that's grown is going to absorb nutrients out of the soil. And different regions of the world have different metals and minerals, good things and bad things in the soil. And so, you know, I do prefer going with teas that come from Japan because they tend to, especially if it's organic, so they aren't using the pesticides and trying to be careful. And there's less issues about, you know, arsenic and cadmium and things like that in the soil from Japan versus from some other countries. So now that is a premium product also. So I will drink, you know, teas that actually they may not say where it's from, but my preference is to try to go with a Japanese tea if possible. And matter of fact, it's actually, there's different colors. And so Japanese teas are also green tea. It's grown more in the shade. And so they'll use covers, you know, over the fields to shade the tea leaves, which makes them darker in color. They grow more, have more nutrients and chlorophyll in them. And so they're more of a brighter green color versus a brown color. So most of the time when you brew green tea, with the tea bag, it's brown. I mean, it is rarely is it kind of a green color. Ideally, it should be more of a green color.
Yes.
The browner it is, maybe not quite as good, may not have as much EG, CG, and other nutrients in it.
Interesting to look for that.
Yeah. And so, you know, and that's something, you know, I'm just learning too. And so I've made tea all, you know, for years on that. And then, you know, I got some better tea. You know, oh, well, this is a light color. And matter of fact, even this cup right here is turning darker or kind of a more brownish color as time's going on because it's oxidizing and losing nutrients. And so, kind of like we talked about nuts in a previous podcast about refrigerating them.
Yeah.
Well, you know, tea is going to be the same type of a way. So you open tea on the kitchen counter, you know, is going to oxidize and turn bad and lose nutrients with time versus if you can put it into a container that's closed, limit the air, and put it in the refrigerator, it's going to stay better and have that more brilliant green color. If you can put it in the fridge,
I want to say one quick thing, and then I want to dive into something quickly about the teas. It's very. My father used to always grind his own coffee beans, and when he would buy his coffee beans, it's funny that he would. It was instant reaction to keep it in the fridge, so his coffee beans were always refrigerated, and he would only take them out when he would grind them to make his coffee.
Right.
So it's funny they were saying that, and he would always say, "You're getting a lot more." I remember him always saying, "You're getting a lot more benefit in and preserving it in the fridge." And our friends and the family would come over, like, "Why do you keep your coffee beans in the fridge?" And he would do that. He did that since I was a kid for years. So it's funny that you said that. And then that was something we had talked about the nuts, and I had read so many studies about that. So there's a few things. with tea, I use an infuser.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
stainless steel infuser. So let's talk about that quickly. Stainless steel infuser. You could buy it on Amazon. You could buy it at most shops. Mm-hmm. A couple bucks. Right. Definitely something you need to use. One thing that I do is if I can't get loose teas, because sometimes when you're buying loose teas, you're trusting the quality of where you're buying it. That's what it was. So it's kind of a little iffy when you're doing that. So if I do tea bags, tell me if I'm doing this right or wrong. When I do tea bags now, if I buy organic tea bags, I'll actually rip open the tea bag, pour the leaves into the infuser, and then I'll use that as making my tea. Is that okay doing it?
I don't know. I won't do that.
Interesting.
And so now we're tearing that plastic. It's a fabric and plastic bag.
Yeah.
And so now we're ripping that. How much of that is going to go into your tea and things like that? Which is going to be worse, ripping it?
I cut it with the scissors. But yeah, I hear you. It just, when in my mindset, when you're heating it, that is when you're going to see the plastics and everything infuse more.
That's definitely part of it, yes. And so we need more studies, you know, along that line. So yes, I definitely understand that. Now there are some tea companies now that are starting to put on there that they don't have plastic bags. And so they're using more of a cloth bag versus the plastic. So if it's
interesting you're saying that, because the tea I've been buying is a little bit more of a high grade tea and it's a little more expensive, but it is a fabric.
Yes.
It is a fabric.
Yeah, and it can be a fabric, and they actually are going to start bragging about that because of the now learning or newer learning concerns about nano and microplastics. And so they're starting to put on their boxes, you know, that they are using a cloth or it's plastic free bags. Mm-hmm. And that definitely could be an option. Now I live in the country and we do have a health food store, but you know, and so far, you know, there's not a single brand there that's in a bag that claims that is a fabric. So therefore I have to go with more like containers of tea, and sometimes a metal or a bag container, a zip with a Ziploc type lock on it, you know, to get loose teas or matcha teas, you know, on that. So I don't know about the cutting thing. I don't know. And so
I was doing it as in my mindset, eliminating the chances of getting that bag into the hot water. So in my head, if I don't have the option of open teas, I would just give it a little cut, pour the leaf teas in, and I'm good to go. That was my mindset with it. I mean, I didn't think about that as well, which is you're always learning and adapting, right?
Exactly. Yes. And we don't have to be perfect either.
Yeah.
So these studies about people that consume coffees and teas, they're not the perfect situation.
No.
So they're just human studies. Okay. And so this person's got cancer and they sign up for, they agree they're going to write down, and these are the things I eat and or in a study, these are things I'm eating and this is what happens, whether cancer progresses or not. And they're not really going into great detail about organics and nanoplastics and things like that. So we don't have to be perfect, you know, in that. So the same kind of thing, you know, if I'm at a restaurant or traveling and that's what's going to be there, that's okay. Most of the time, though, I'm going to try to go with the loose leaf, you know, and the or matcha. And so on those infusers, so a stainless steel infuser for the loose leaf, or there's some glass ones also that I've seen. I use a stainless steel one.
Yeah, so do I.
And works very well. You just want to be careful and watch because there are quality issues with that. But as time goes on, if there's any type of breakdown on the metal, any kind of a rust, you know, kind of things going on, you got to toss that. You got to get another one. But just double check that because it's always kind of like always wet.
Yeah.
And so the greater likelihood of some corrosion type thing. So we have to toss those. There's some glass ones too, and I haven't used those, but that could be maybe even a better option. I'm too clumsy. I use stainless steel.
It would break. Yeah.
I'm not going to, my wife has trusted me with this glass. and that's it. So not any other glass type things often on that. But stainless, same thing with coffee now. And so we just go back to brewing coffee. I do prefer a stainless steel and glass and or glass French press.
Okay.
So the stainless steel press on that is a filter.
Yes.
And then same thing with or a pour over, a stainless steel pour over.
Yep.
So late afternoon, and I just need one cup. I'm definitely doing a pour over. And so once again, a stainless steel, not a plastic pour over type thing, and even filters. So I'm not a big fan of filters. So the coffee filters, they do get rid of the sediment that can happen. Like there's even some sediment in this tea, but they can get rid of that sediment. But then there's chemicals used to make that.
Yeah.
Matter of fact,
the bleach, the bleaching, everything like that.
And that's not really just paper.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It actually is
plastics. Yeah. Too. Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
That's something we just don't know that goes into the K-cup thing.
Yeah. I don't touch those.
Yeah. And most of the time, unless I have to make like a big pot of coffee, I'm going to be using my press or my pour over. But, yeah. So I had the same kind of concern. So if I use that drip coffee maker, everything about it is plastic.
Plastic and you're using a filter.
Exactly. And a filter. And so now that you can get stainless or gold or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Filters. And I have used those, but still, I've got that. I pulled it out. We had some company come in a couple of weeks ago for the weekend. And so I pulled it out. We used it. And then I put it back, out of the way. And so I prefer not to do that to reduce the plastics. And it's more old fashioned, my parents, before drip coffee makers came out, I mean, they had the old fashioned glass percolator that they put on the stove. And so it'd boil the water. You could see it come up and go through the filtering and things like that. Or a metal coffee pot, was also popular for years.
Yeah.
And I think those are definitely healthier than mini drip type coffee pots.
I agree with that.
And so that's just another thought. It's not like you need to, got to get rid of that instantly. But it's like, okay, well, I'm going to go get a pour over or a French press and kind of make a little change.
We have every single day opportunities to increase the benefits of our health. And it's usually just choices. And sometimes time doesn't allow that choice to be made.
Yes.
But if you were making 75, 80% of the day healthier, better choices, you're living a better life than most people. So it's just constantly looking at all these things and trying to figure out ways to increase the benefits of what we're trying to put into our bodies.
Exactly. Every little change we make has a
100%.
Every single thing. And then, the bad decisions we make, has an impact too.
Yeah.
But we don't have to be perfect, but we can make little tiny changes that can have,
It's impossible to be perfect. I mean, like you said, I'll take a bag and I'll cut it and not thinking of the consequences of that when I'm cutting that bag. Like I thought I was making a super healthy choice by putting in an infuser. It's true. You're trying to do, when I look at my life and I look at my lifestyle since November 24th of 2022, the changes I've made, I'm living, if you were to write down everything I do, people would think I'm living to the max. Like I'm overdoing things. And in my mindset is, and we've talked about this a million times, if somebody's going to give me a 0.0001% chance of my cancer not reoccurring, I'm going to do it. Whether it tastes crap, whether it doesn't feel right, whether I'm doing, you're well aware now, we'll bring this to another topic for another day. I'm doing my vitamin C IV, and it's, I don't like it. I can't stand needles. I can't stand sitting there with a needle in my arm for 2.5 hours, which is, I'm putting up to 75 grams right now to bring my levels up to full for 400. And do I need to do it right now? My numbers, blood work, everything's back to normal. Everything's fine. I should be cancer free right now. I'm doing it as a preventative action.
Sure.
And it's something I can't stand, but that's where you have to have that mindset. And a right. lot of people won't sacrifice that mindset till it's too late, till they get diagnosed, till they have something.
Right.
And then you'll sit back and be like, if I only did this, I only did this. We all have the opportunity to make the right choices, or at least make a majority of the right choices that are going to not put us in that situation where I wish I did this.
Right. Exactly. You know, and we can make all kinds of little choices. So I had a client I was talking to probably almost a month ago now, with prostate cancer, metastasis, not a great situation at all. And so I started talking to him about his food type things. I said, well, what'd you have for lunch yesterday? SpaghettiOs. Okay. And, what'd you have for, lunch today? Ravioli thingy, in the can too. And I said, we need to be changing that. You need to be going with fresh vegetables and fruit. And if you want some meat, you can, but it needs to be more like fresh meat or frozen meat, but more natural type things. And after we got finished with that appointment, as I was getting ready to turn the button off, he goes, well, that was a waste of time. I'll never do that again. So he's not in the right frame of mind. And, he's not going to survive.
No.
Because he's got way too many things and he's not willing to make, those basic changes, but it's more like natural. We need to bathe our body. And there's some remarkable stories, and you know this too, remarkable stories about people with serious cancer issues that are just bathing their body internally, with nutrients.
They're flipping around stage more cancers, and 10, yes. 15 years later, the healthiest shape of their lives. And it doesn't happen every day, but there's a lot more churning around, a lot more people you're seeing change their lives, change their outcomes, and doing it naturally, not doing it through the whole conventional medical
correct
systems of chemos and radiations and all that stuff like that, which in turn we could talk for another day. Are there a benefit to them? Are there not a benefit to them? That's another story for another day. Right. But there is incredible stories of how incredible the human body is when it's fed the right stuff, when it's given yes. the right opportunity to strive.
And coffees and teas are a great way to do that. And so, matter of fact, I tell my clients that, tea definitely can count toward their, a water intake
yeah.
every day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
let's talk about that. Let's talk about when people talk about caffeine, you always hear that stigma of caffeine is dehydrating you. Is that, to me, you're putting a fluid in your body. So where's the mindset with that dehydration aspect of coffee and caffeine?
When you first start drinking caffeine, you're going to be more sensitive to the caffeine effect. The caffeine is a diuretic, increases urine output, definitely. But as you drink that with time over months and especially years, your body becomes resistant to that diuretic effect. And so therefore, and coffee is a little bit more acidic. So, I don't really count it toward the water intake, but definitely teas don't have as much caffeine, 30%, 20 or 30%. But this is matcha and it's 20 or 30%. It's stronger than loose leaf.
Yeah.
But it's 20 to 30% caffeine compared to what's in the same size a cup of a strong coffee. So teas will count toward that water intake, but we build up tolerance to it.
Yeah.
And I can't say with my experience, and I'm a coffee drinker and I drink it even at night. And, within an hour or two, that fluid, whether I have coffee or not, that fluid is going to go pass out.
Yeah.
And not be an issue. There's always going to be an exception. Some people are more sensitive to that caffeine. And so, and they may, if they have the noon coffee and they have a hard time going to sleep at night, genetically, their liver has a hard time processing the caffeine. They may be more sensitive to a diuretic effect of that also.
Yeah.
So, but overall, we build up a tolerance to the caffeine. And so, moderately caffeinated type beverages definitely count toward that water intake. We can only drink so much. As a matter of fact, you can also drink too much water and be a problem too.
Yeah.
And you can dilute minerals down. And even I've known, well, I have one client, she could not get pregnant because she was drinking too much water. She was too acidic. She was actually healthy. She was exercising and she was actually so acidic, her body was killing the sperm. All we did was cut back on her water because she was drinking like 2 gallons of water a day.
Wow. Yeah.
Because she was an athlete. I mean, she's a very serious athlete. And so she drank almost a half a gallon in our appointment when in 1 hour, you know, and so we cut back on her water and she ended up having 5 children. So we just cut back on her water because she was drinking too much. So water can dilute the minerals down, potassium, for example, and magnesium. Now we got heart problems.
Yeah.
So too much of anything can be bad, but definitely beverages, you know, can count towards your water or fluid.
Fluid intake. That's another misunderstanding with fluid intake is people think if I drink a ton of water, I'm hydrated, and your body still needs the minerals in the fluid to be hydrated. I mean, sometimes I'll wake up in the morning and I feel dehydrated and I'll put literally a little dab of sea salt on my tongue, and then I'll drink my water just to increase my hydration levels in my body. So, I mean, those are all things too. So don't over understand, or I should not over, you should, everyone should understand that just drinking water is not going to hydrate you.
Right.
You need the minerals in there.
And we have to be careful about going overboard on tea. And
yeah.
So actually drinking tea, I'm not as concerned about. But if you drink a couple of cups of green tea a day and you're taking green tea capsules, e.g. CG capsules,
yeah,
we need to monitor the liver enzymes, ALT and AST, just kind of make sure that we're not creating a little bit of an issue. So
interesting.
EGCG and other herbs, you know, what are supplements, especially supplements, but those are concentrated forms. So it's like 200 milligrams or 250 milligrams of EGCG in a capsule. You know, this may have 80.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the high side. Okay. Maybe 125 milligrams in a strong cup of matcha. And so we're going with a lot more that goes into the stomach. Blood supply goes through the liver. First, we call it first pass effect in the medical world. And if we overwhelm that along with other drugs and supplements, now we're running into problems with potentially liver issues. And I've seen it happen with some clients. And so I would say, okay, we'll do 2 capsules of green tea a day. Well, you know, they either misunderstand or think, well, if 2's good, you know, I can double that up because I've got cancer. I want to kill this. And so they'll double it up. And I've had a couple of people that their liver enzymes went up from taking too much EGCG capsules.
Interesting. Interesting.
So a little bit of a caution about that. But also doing this before meals decreases the glucose absorption and, you know, also helps out with some energy use by cancer cells. So actually a green tea before meals is going to be my preference.
Let's talk about that quickly too. I wanted to talk about 2 other teas in our time's running here. One thing I remember you saying to me is the connection of L-glutamine to cancer and in having a green tea, having a green tea before a meal will reduce the L-glutamine in your intake of the food, which correct, will reduce opportunities for cancer growth or tumor growth. Dive into that quickly.
Yes, sure. And so this, once again, this EGCG,
yeah,
beverages and supplements taken before meals does 2 functions. One, it decreases the absorption of glutamine,
yeah,
to a certain extent. It's not going to totally avoid it, but the main process is actually inside the body. It keeps our body from using other proteins and amino acids from those proteins and converting them into L-glutamine. So by doing this before a meal, the theory is that we're going to decrease that L-glutamine use by the cancer cells for energy. So L-glutamine, amino acid used for repair, we have to have it. Our body's going to make it. But those cancer cells are going like real fast. Their metabolism is fast, fast, fast. They're multiplying fast, fast, fast. But if we can interrupt that and take out some nutrients, L-glutamine and glucose, sugars, you know, are 2 of those nutrients. If we can limit that with intermittent fasting and certain approaches, now they stumble.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they're just what now it's going to be hard to grow. And so if we can do enough interruptions, the cancer cells struggle and
you're hoping the good cells grow. Will kill. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that was one thing I wanted to talk about. There's two T's I'm going to dive into. One we talked about prior, and I actually incorporate it into I would say daily. I have one of these teas right before I go to bed every night after I do my sauna. Is a roasted dandelion extract of the leaf, and It doesn't have once again it has a really bitter taste. Doesn't taste the greatest, but I have read study after study after study, and this is something that you have not put much research into. But I've read study after study, and I want you to do this when you do have a chance. You have a busy life. The research just a bit more is the benefits of dandelion leaf to colorectal cancer. There's so many links and so many studies out there. And for a while, I was actually buying organic dandelion leaf and putting it into my shakes. It was just, it's so bitter, so hard to eat. So now I just implied an organic leaf, and I'm doing a tea every night with it. Mm-hmm. And I do that steadily as part of my regimen, part of my routine. And like I said, there's so many benefits out there. So I'm going to hold you to talk, yes, put a little study about it so we can actually talk about a little bit more. But anybody out there that is dealing with colorectal cancer, please research dandelion tea, or actually just dandelion naturally, organically, if you could, and consume it into a food or saute it or put it into your shakes and stuff like that. There's a lot of benefits. Another one that I do about 2-3 times a week. This one is very bitter, very hard to drink. I got to make a little small concentrated about 3 times a week, and I just chug it down. It's papaya leaf. Okay. And the reason I started taking that, there's so many linked benefits to the increase of your blood platelets. And I've always had naturally low platelets. I've always been in the range, but always on the low end. After my surgery last February, my platelets were very low for a while. And I started in taking this about 3 times a week to increase my platelets. And it's something I've just steadily kept because I've always had low platelets. And it's something where anybody that's going through any form of cancer or any type of treatment, their platelets could drop. So that's another thing to look at is papaya leaf, incredibly linked to increasing blood platelets and the benefits of that. So there are two. Right. And there's one more that you talked about. What was the one you talked about?
Mulberry.
So what?
Mulberry.
To talk about that.
Yeah, and so that's actually, you know, here in Oklahoma, actually, well, it's you probably have some up there too, up north, but mulberry trees, mulberries. And so the mulberry itself has, whether it be the dark mulberries or white mulberries, have a lot of antioxidants. So the berries are wonderful.
Yeah.
And the advantage is, as a matter of fact, I've got 2 black mulberries and 1 white mulberry tree. And it's fun because every day I can go out there for literally months and pick mulberries every single day.
Interesting. So they're not a bush. They're a tree.
They're a tree. And in this case, here they grow up as a tree. Okay. And they're almost like a weed because the birds eat those and deposit the seeds. And they just
keep growing
all over the place. Yeah, they keep growing all over the place. There's almost like a weed here, and they're kind of messy. So some people don't like them because you can't pick every single one. You can't reach up all the way to the top, and they're dropping on stuff, and you're walking on it. And we're talking about like a blackberry color. I mean,
yeah, it'll stain everything. Yeah,
it will. But there's also research even on those leaves, and even the stem. So when you pull a mulberry off of the tree, there's a little tiny green stem that's on that. That stem itself has anti-cancer benefits. And so all kinds of, I'm not surprised about dandelion. I haven't studied that, but I wouldn't be surprised about it because the mulberry leaves and stems, matter of fact, a friend of mine she's a certified horticulturist and she is big into growing things and medicinal plants.
Yeah.
And I mentioned something that I had a mulberry tree over by our drive that I was actually trying to get rid of, and it keeps coming back, but it's not where I want it. I was out with an axe trying to get rid of that thing. And in my friend, we actually had a Bible lesson about mulberry trees in the Bible. They're talking about how resilient they are. And yeah, I can't get rid of this tree. It keeps coming back. But anyway, so, and she said, well, you don't want to kill that because of the medicinal. I said, I know, but I've got those other three over there. I don't need that one. And so because it's medicinal, all kinds of antioxidants that repair our body. So making teas out of many different things could have some benefits. You know, there we don't want to get that poison ivy, you know, make a tea out of that. So, I mean, so we need to be kind of smart about the leaves and what they are. But definitely all kinds of nutrients can be extracted by brewing them in teas and making teas out of them. And so I'm not surprised about the dandelion at all, but even mulberry. And matter of fact, there's many different kinds of teas out there. And I'm sure that you'll have more comments about people. What about this? What about that? So yeah.
So I'm sure we'll have another episode on this and adding different versions, different teas, different hot beverages. But coffee, let's just recap this. Coffee, yes. 2 to 3 cups a day.
Typically, right.
Mm-hmm. Try to have it organic. Try to eliminate it from a drip, a drip machine, the plastic. You're trying to have it as natural as you possibly can when available. Mm-hmm. Green tea, green matcha, very, very highly recommended. Tons of benefits towards cancer. Same thing. We're using an infuser. We're trying to use as organic. We're trying to use loose leaves as possible, as much as possible. And then I just added at the end. You added would you call it mulberry?
Mulberry.
You know, it's funny because I remember you talking about this once, and I went into the store and I couldn't find them.
Here. It's kind of a sensitive fruit. I don't know. It's not. Just not that popular. I don't know why, but yeah. it actually keeps, we can pick it and it stays fresh. We can keep it for up to a week in the refrigerator.
Is it sweet? Is it bitter? It's sweet.
Oh, huh? Yeah. Sweet. Yes. Very sweet.
Yeah. And do they have a seed in there or just an, no. It's no interesting.
Not that you can, nothing, not like a black raspberry, raspberries, you know, nothing like that. So it's, very sweet. And but they're not very big, so they're the size of my end of my little finger typically. Okay. There are some brands that, you know, and versions that could be more like the size of my thumb.
Yeah,
but typically not here, at least the ones that I've got here. And the trees can actually get humongous.
Interesting.
And so it's kind of a neat tree. You know,
interesting.
And
I'm gonna look into it because last summer we talked about this. Last summer I planted blueberry, raspberry, and blueberry bushes, and I didn't think of them. My first season, I was getting anything, and I ended up getting quite a bit of fruit off them season. So this year, I'm excited because I see how much fruit we could get out of it for throughout the summer here. So I'm going to look into that and see if it's available a tree here because they seem to grow decently.
Glass containers, so ideally not paper cups.
Yeah, stainless steel.
Stainless steel, glass,
yeah.
Ceramic, you know, are going to be your better options. Paper cups, we have the nanoplastic thing. We are learning, and matter of fact, that is a
no
concern.
Yeah.
Major concern about those plastic paper cups. Paper cups are actually coated with plastics.
Yeah, which is essentially every drive-through.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's a no-no. We got to, if we do that, we got to transfer it into another container as soon as possible. The longer it's in that plastic, the greater the concern.
Yeah. Yeah. I would assume as soon as that hot beverage hits that plastic, it's going to just start.
Oh, yeah.
It's starting to infuse into the coffee. So, I mean, you try to eliminate as much as possible. And I'm sure most drive-thrus, if you have your own stainless steel mug, they'll be more than willing to fill it for you.
They could. Yeah, they. Yeah, you know, sometimes they'll fight back a little bit because of sanitation type things. And so, is your cup clean? And that,
yeah.
You know, I don't know. I've seen some pushbacks on it. So,
yeah. This has been amazing. Like always, tons of information. Like it's like information overload every time we do a podcast. And I'm sure there's people that are going to have tons of questions as well. So I'll be passing those to you. Your blog is amazing. Where can people find your blog? I always put in the show links.
Prevailovercancer.com. And so I've got a blog and a learning center. We've got all kinds of free downloads about foods. and quantities and fasting and even little exercise type things. So I've got a lot of free information and a blog. It's a great resource, great place to start your journey if you're just diagnosed or even, you know, just trying to prevent or treatment, whatever. It's a great place to start.
Yeah, yeah. The more information you get, the more you learn, the more knowledge you have, the better opportunity you have to fight this and right. to come over on the winning side, which, man, if people were to take control of their health, a lot more people would be coming on the winning side. Because it feels like lately, since I've been diagnosed and I've really jumped into this whole cancer world and I started realizing how many people cancer affects, you're also realizing how many people are passing away with cancer.
Right.
And they're just going the medical route and they're not making the changes to the root causes of where the cancer came from. They're not right. making the changes like that gentleman you had on the phone call conversation right. saying this is a waste of time. They don't understand the metabolic effect of your body and how cancer could be treated through great foods, great beverages, vegetables, fruits, supplements. There's so many things that really could build your immune system to another level that it gives your chance right. for your body to fight this and prevail over it. So everything, every time we come up with one of these episodes and all the information on your blog and all your posts and all the information is so critical for anybody that's ever diagnosed and understanding and learning and learning. And I always say this, and I've always said this, the day you die is the day you stop learning. So you need to keep mm-hmm. informing and learning, and you're constantly learning. Like I'm listening to a podcast all the time. I'm in the sauna, I'm listening to a podcast and I'm just like, wow, I didn't know that. Wow. You know, and then on YouTube, you take every piece of information you get, whether it's from our podcast, whether it's from mm-hmm. Keith's website, and you don't have to imply everything, but you can learn, you can do your own research on it, but it's just taking it and increasing your knowledge. That's all we could do. So I appreciate you. I appreciate everything you're doing and you're helping millions of people. And I think you're helping more people than you even realize this. So I appreciate everything you do, Keith.
Well, and Jeff, thank you for doing this for the podcast, your team and you know, for doing, take the time. People don't realize how much time and effort it takes to do this, record it, get it out. And it's a process.
But it's really, really worth it. And I mean, and like I said, I'm in a way doing this. I started this as a benefit for myself as well, because I feel like I'm constantly learning and surrounding myself around positive people that are helping other people. It's just allowing me to kind of duplicate and diddle that to other people as well. Right. So mm-hmm. I appreciate this all, buddy. So until next, I guess in a couple of weeks, we'll be at this again. This podcast will be released ASAP. And I appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.